everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's a someplace they play football.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama.
Yes. I don't give a shit who we're playing.
Nothing they can make us play against and make us ask to win. That's our framework. That's our MO as a team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline. End zone.
This is a mauling, folks, a mauling.
Fear the Tide, Honey Badger.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast, powered by Bama Hammer. Tom, we're back, and this time we're breaking down the defense. What are the key things that you're looking for to see from the team as we go through spring practice?
Man, I'm ready to see what we're going to do to replace the center of our defense. I guess the first thing that jumps out at me is linebacker and safety. So I guess I'll start with linebacker. You know, last year we talked about, you know, that was an issue. And we talked about how do you replace C.J. Mosley. It's no different than the offensive discussion on Michael Williams. Michael Williams was versatile. Well, of course, C.J. Mosley is as well.
Sure. We're going to be asking how you replace him for years.
We are, but I guess more specifically, we did not have a linebacker last year in our base nickel in a third and five to third eight that could control inside the hash. That's a better way to say it. We had first and second down linebackers trying to play third down.
Yep.
So I guess a better way to say it is, does this team have a third down linebacker? Because last year they didn't.
Well, and you know, I think you're kind of reading from my notes, because, you know, kind of the headline that I put up that I'm looking for on defense, and this is kind of the, you know, it's need linebacker, because that's where I wanted to start too. And it's type of question that's a little, you're just not going to read about this everywhere. But, you know, my question is, and it's along the same lines, a slight more granular maybe, but I'm asking, is this the season? Is this the season that Dylan Lee can get his career on track? I mean, if you think about his career, it has been one of start and stop. You know, in his first game as a true freshman against Michigan, he has an interception. That same season, he sent home from Miami for breaking curfew. And then that seems to be sort of the place setting for his entire career. Not really a fixture in the rotation, getting spot duty here, there. Last year it seemed, was it 2 out of 3 weeks, or maybe it's 2 weeks in a row, where he went out with what looked like devastating knee injuries, but he bounced back. I mean, he's got titanium bones or something, and he just, you know, came back, really an injury, and continued to practice, continued to play, but never really getting that firm grasp not even just being a routine rotation guy, just being a guy that's out there from time to time. And what's interesting is I think that he has skills in you know, relative to a linebacker and even a middle linebacker at that. I think he has skills in coverage, which, you know, how many times do we talk? We just lamented that that's where we struggle, coverage linebackers. And he's just a guy, you know, from spring to fall to spring to fall, he's in the middle, he's on the outside, he's in the middle, he's on the outside, can't find a home. And I just think if we would just put him at middle linebacker, and in with the thumper that is Ragland, I think the versatility that they would offer, I think he could be a three-down linebacker, and I think he could give us some of that coverage skill from that position that we just so desperately need.
You think, from Dylan Lee?
Yes. It sounds like you're 100% on board with that.
Man, I agree with everything you just said there as far as, you know, him not being able to find a home. Do I think he's that three-down linebacker? No, I don't. I think he is your situational guy that you bring in to spell some other guys, and you bring him in to give you some reps. You bring him in to give you 8 to 10 reps as a backup in a game. I don't think he's a starter. I think that, you know, you've brought in a lot of big physical linebackers who have found homes in other places. Ryan Anderson was never meant to be a situational pass rusher. he excels at that.
Right.
Denzel Duvall was probably not brought in to be, you know, a hand in the dirt edge guy. Right.
Right.
I guess what I'm trying to say is in that one class, you brought in Reuben Foster, Ryan Anderson, you know, Reggie Ragland. You brought in these guys, and let me back up. Reuben Foster was a different class.
Yeah.
But Denzel Duvall, Reggie Ragland, and Ryan Anderson.
Sure.
You brought them all in at the same time to see which one would land. Well, Reggie has comfortably landed in the middle now as a two-down back guy.
Right.
Last year, you tried to take Trey DePriest, you tried to make him a three-down guy. That was a disaster. And so I really think that you've got to give some look to a Sean Dion Hamilton
yep.
as a possible guy on third down. And I also think that you've got to maybe look to some other guys like Allen and see if Rashawn, you know, has what it takes to be in that role. But Ruben's not the guy, and I don't think Dylan Lee is either.
Okay. Okay. You know, I think that, you know, Sean Dion Hamilton, I think has he's a little slight, but a little short, really. He's a stocky plugger. I think he has a future at the middle linebacker. I don't know if it's necessarily this year. I think he's in the rotation. He plays a little bit more. You know, I don't know if Reuben Foster is that guy. All the headlines, you know, I kind of went with the headline is this year that Dylan Lee gets his career on track. Well, you won't find that anywhere because everyone's going to talk about is this year that Reuben Foster gets his career on track. And I don't know that he has a straighter shot to the starting middle linebacker position than does Dylan Lee. I think athletically his upside is there, but I don't know. I mean, look, let me ask it this way. Is he, given what we know about him and what we've seen about him, is he a player right now that you think Saban would trust to man that position?
Well, I mean, I think Trey DePriest being out in week one of that, you know, West Virginia game was interesting because you and I said, why aren't we seeing, you know, Sean Dion Hamilton get a little play? And it was the, you know, it was the brand new starter, Reggie Ragland and Reuben Foster.
Sure.
And they played the whole game. And it's the first game of the year, and you don't have your conditioning where you need it to be. They were both probably pushing 260 pounds. And they were gasping at straws at the end of that football game.
Yes.
And Reggie Ragland slowly but surely, you know, got better each week. And I think he is going to really blossom in that first and second down role. Do I think Reuben Foster needs to be right beside him? I think Reuben Foster and Dylan Lee have some good opportunity in first and second down to play beside a Reggie Ragland. To your point, do I see Sean Dion Hamilton jumping ahead of Reuben Foster and Dylan Lee this year? No. I think Dylan Lee and Reuben Foster are going to take the Trey DePriest snaps, okay? I'm just saying on third down, no offense to any of those three guys, but I don't think those three guys are your answer on third and five.
Right.
To cover that fast, shifty running back.
Okay.
I just don't. And so a minute ago, you know, forgive me a minute ago, whenever I said Rashawn Allen, I should have said Rashawn Evans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a Rashawn Evans is a guy that came in and did what he did and really good job, you know, finding a role off the edge. You know, do you take some other guys out there that you put out there in the spring and see how they perform? I think it's got to be an audition in the spring to find out who is your nimble linebacker who can nail that running back if they decide to do a draw and also cover that fast running back.
Yeah. No, that's fair. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, Christian Miller is a guy that was brought in to be an athletic sort of middle linebacker in the mold of Mosley. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, if he's put on some weight and he's a little more ready for that. I think he might still be a little bit away. I think Evans is an intriguing selection because I think he has the athleticism to maybe start to do some of that. So that's going to be interesting. He would be the wild card kind of position because I do think otherwise otherwise it's kind of predictable and vanilla, right? It's some combination of Raglan, Sean Deion Hamilton, Reuben Foster, and Dylan Lee, and maybe that's your first, second team. Put them in whatever order you want to. At the two middle linebacker positions, and I think there's some quality players there. I really do. I want to be careful about that. High quality players at those positions, but there's nothing dynamic, I don't think, about any of those. And so maybe Rashawn Evans has an opportunity to be a splash player at that position, and maybe upset that two deep that I'm thinking there. And if he does that, I'll go as far as to say this: if he does that in the spring, then we might look at somebody transfer, and in that case, I think it might be Dylan Lee. If he doesn't get some sort of role in, you know, even has more than 11 starters, we've talked about that. If he doesn't get some sort of role in a sub package, or if he's not at least the backup to the number one middle linebacker, so that he's in a rotation, then he might look at, do I go somewhere else? I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying there comes a point where I can't break through. There's all of these younger guys. I've got one more chance to just go have fun playing ball. And, do I want to do that, not get into play, or do I want to go somewhere and play and have a good time? I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing that out there. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens at that position. I don't know. Any other thoughts on the linebacker, or you want to hit somewhere else?
No, I think you said it best. I think Sean Deion Hamilton is in there with those other three.
Those four guys battle for the two starting spots. The other two will be the backups. And so let's transition to safety, because last year we said Landon Collins needs to be put in there in the box because we didn't have a nickel linebacker. Well, now Landon Collins is gone.
Yep.
And, you know, God bless him. I wish him the best. But, you know, he was not our fastest safety. Okay. He was our best hybrid linebacker / strong safety.
Yes.
He was able to cover in the hashes and be physical at the point of attack. And then he was able to drop back in the center field if you needed him to. And so this year, I'm anxious to see if you ask me. Next thing I'm really looking for is I'm really ready to see Hootie Jones and what he brings to the table this year.
Yep.
I'm excited to see that the door has been opened, and I'm ready for him to kick it down.
I am 100% with you. And when we think about Landon Collins, what was it? I don't even think it was last year. I think it was the year before, where we tried to keep count of the number of positions that he was playing, you know, between free safety and hybrid linebacker and nickels and dimes and strong safeties and whatnot. And he ended up playing, I think we got up to five, you know, positions that it looked like that he was playing and kind of rotating around. And so when we think about safety, one of the key questions that I have is in particular free safety. What are we going to do at free safety? And if you think about, you know, Landon maybe wasn't best suited for free safety, but intellectually or his knowledge of the defense allowed him to be able to do that. Vinny Sinceri clearly was not a free safety type, but his defense allowed him to do that. They essentially ran the show in the secondary from the free safety position. If you think about HaHa Clinton Dix, Robert Lester, Rashawn Johnson, they all play in the NFL today based on what they did at free safety at Alabama. Nick Perry is going to get a look because of what he did, especially as a senior, as a free safety in Alabama defense. And so you think, man, of a very unheralded position, we've run a lot of talent through the free safety position. And so I start to wonder, who the heck is going to step up and be the free safety this year? It's a little bit of a combination of raw athleticism, and we've seen this demonstrated, right, in these players. Raw athleticism juxtaposed or in partnership with an understanding of the secondary. And it just it makes me kind of get creative and who's going to be in that position. Is Geno going to have an opportunity at free safety? Does Cyrus Jones maybe get knocked from his position at corner and have a chance to play free safety? He's actually out of spring drills. And so him being out may actually make it easier to slide him over to free safety with the competition that's going in that corner. You know, Jabril Washington, Jonathan Cook, Mo Smith. I mean, we've got a lot of guys that have kind of been around but not gotten exclusive playing time opportunities. Do you think one of those guys step up into the free safety boot? Do you think Hootie's more of a strong safety? I mean, what are your thoughts? Because we could talk about both positions, both safety positions, because we have a need at both.
Yeah, I think Hootie Jones is going, you know, from what we have seen of him, I think he is going to be the next guy to wear the – I think his role is going to be strong safety. I don't think there's anybody else currently on the roster that is – well, I'll put it this way. If he doesn't step up and seize the strong safety position, we're really in trouble at strong safety. Because I don't think anybody else who's currently on the roster, we got a bunch of guys who we could move over to free safety, but we don't have a bunch of guys that we could move over to strong safety. You and I both know that, you know, we've had guys in the past, we've had to move from linebacker to strong safety because we didn't have any strong safety types. And so you talk about depth at tight end. This is a team that lacks some serious depth at the strong safety position.
We absolutely do. You know, there's a couple of freshmen that that are coming in that, you know, potentially could have an opportunity there. You think about maybe a Keith Holcomb tries to do something like a Vinny, but nothing that feels really good. Nothing that just says, yes, I can plant my flag on that approach. There's not a Mark Barron, you know, all in the roster. There's not someone that just is a very clear cut and dried selection at that position. And so you do start to think about, yeah, based on size purely alone, you know, Hootie's the guy, you know, has to be given the first shot at in strong safety. And you know, we need some depth behind him there. But, you know, and like you said, we've got a lot of names that we could kind of throw at the free safety spot and see what opens up. If we have to start taking some of those same people and putting them at a strong safety position, you know, then you take a corner and move a corner to free. But you start to move a corner to strong and you got different kind of body types. You're kind of working against yourself. You know, Eddie Jackson might be someone that I could think about. You know, hey, Eddie, over the summer, go put on 10 pounds because he's already kind of big. And so you could think about him maybe in that position. But man, that's a goal. That's a hole. I think we called it during recruiting that's a position of concern. I know going into last season, I thought the weakest position we had on the team. And, you know, here we are this year, it stands to be even worse. So I don't know. Who do you think that it is?
Well, I think what's key about that is in the base nickel that Alabama likes to run, that, you know, when C.J. Mosley was here, you had C.J. Mosley as the only linebacker in the game, right?
Yep.
And you had a strong safety type down in the box as well. And so these two guys are in the middle of your defense on your key third downs. And we're talking about them both being holes.
Yep.
I mean, you got a lot of good front seven guys coming back, specifically front four guys.
Yes.
But I think your point about Eddie Jackson is valid. But I'm glad you mentioned Mark Barron because I didn't mention his name a minute ago. Mark Barron is a great example. He played linebacker all through high school.
Yep.
He never played in the secondary. And the good news is we have a great coaching staff that is really good at seeing things like that and making moves like that with Mark Barron. And so I think this is a fun conversation that we'll probably need to have in our wrap-up spring show as well, where we talk about, you know, A-Day, et cetera. and we kind of see what we saw there, because I don't, if I had to give my guess right now, it's going to be a true freshman. There's going to be a guy in this year's class that just signed that is going to get some serious playing time at strong safety.
Yeah.
That's how deficient I think we are at strong safety.
Well, in our recruiting show, we kind of talked about that. Ronnie Harrison, and we each kind of picked different guys, but, you know, Ronnie Harrison, true freshman, 6'3", 210, participating in spring practice. He starts to, his name starts to, you know, based on just his stat profile alone, you know, he kind of steps up the roster as, you know, who could man the strong safety position. You know, who he goes 6'2", 220. I mean, he's a big old boy. You think that, there's linebackers not that big. And so you think that, well, he needs to play closer into the box. You know, Ronnie Harrison is a true freshman, 6'3", 210. That starts to seem like a natural place for that size defensive back to be. So I think and the fact that he's here in the spring, I think gives him a head start, you know, on anyone else. I think it's going to be interesting to see how those guys develop, you know, how they kind of work through that position, because we don't have the numbers to just throw at it like we do in the secondary, like we do at free safety. How we're going to have so many cornerbacks of top talent that you could take one of these cornerbacks and move them to free safety. Because there's just so many of them, we just don't have the body types for the strong safety. So those that we do have, they really need to step up and play the position. What else on?
Well, I will tell you real quick to that point. If the experiment doesn't go well in the spring with the strong safety, we've always talked about Nick Saban and needing three starting cornerbacks and mm-hmm. how important three starting cornerbacks are. Because you have so many cornerbacks that do have experience, you might end up getting to a point where you have a starting defense that is three cornerbacks, a free safety, and no strong safety.
Yeah, you could.
I mean, be in a situation where you have four linebackers, three cornerbacks, a free safety, and four down linemen.
Just keep an extra linebacker
yes.
on the field and say, yes. you know, we don't have – a strong safety, and you know, a strong safety maybe is not going to be your best cover guy anyways. And right. so we're going to take one of our more athletic. And so go back to a Christian Miller, yes. you know, that kind of guy, you know, Rashawn Evans, we talked about him last year, as we were prepping for West Virginia, he practiced. He ran the scout team at a safety. And so it could be, yeah, that's how we start to come up with names to throw at the position, almost kind of by redefining the position. We're going to play with an extra linebacker. And look, we talked about doing that with Landon, effectively calling him an extra linebacker. And so this year we would just do it with an extra linebacker as opposed to a DB we're calling a linebacker.
No, absolutely. Well, hey, man, give me something on defense for you that jumps out at you.
Well, you know, this is kind of in my wheelhouse, and so you'll get a kick out of me going to this place. But, you know, I'm asking the question, does Geno keep the star position? And, you know, it's easy. It should be a resounding yes, but he has been so tenuous in the lineup for the last couple of years. It seems that his most sort of guaranteed playing time was as a true freshman after we lost to Texas A&M, and he played, you know, almost every snap the rest of the way. He has had such a hard time getting on the field the last 2 years. Part of it was his own doing with the DUI and got him in the coach's doghouse, and Jarek Williams coming back from injury played kind of lights out, and so he got wildly pipped a little bit, but you know, even last year, for what to me was no clear reason, he was not a mainstay. I mean, he got more reps, but he was not a mainstay. And so does he sort of come back and burst through and become what I've always thought he was? Or does he kind of lose his way with all of these corners? Maybe, you know, remember Javi Arenas, right? He was a corner. But when we went to nickel, he moved down and played played the star position. And so do we do something like that? That's how we get that star position field, is we move in one of the corners to that position and then, you know, backfill the corner spot because we've got, you know, the talent at corner. So I don't know. I mean, Gino's the kind of guy that I could see him being a starting free safety who moves down to star. I could see him being the full-time star, or I could see him struggling to get reps again. I mean, his range of opportunity to me is about as broad as it gets. He could go back to free. He could be the next great free safety, right? Or he could struggle to get playing time at the star, right? At an alignment based or alignment driven position. So that's kind of the question I have on that. Just kind of react to that. What's your thoughts on that? Am I nuts?
No, I think that if you look at the free safeties that we've had in the past couple of years, you can argue that Geno Smith is more capable and should be able to fill that spot better than Nick Perry and his predecessors. And so I'm going to say that of those three Jekyll and Hyde scenarios, you know, I'm going to say that I think free safety is where he lands.
Okay.
And I think because of the talent we have at cornerback, that we can find a third cornerback and that we need him more at free safety.
Okay. So you think Geno gets the nod at free safety?
I think it's his job to lose in the spring.
Okay. Nice.
And if he loses it, I think it's his job to lose from Jabril and Mo Smith.
Yeah. Okay. Those are the names that I would put there. I saw someone talking, saying good things about Jonathan Cook. So it'll be interesting to see kind of where he fleshes out. It kind of goes back to you said, and I've already repeated it twice, but we've got a lot of names to throw at the corner and the dime and the free safety position. And the star too, I think, because that's we do better when the star is a corner, and so we have a lot of names that we could sort of carpet bomb all of those positions. It's the strong safeties where we have the biggest gap, and then together, man, that just creates a lot of discussion, a lot of room for a lot of different faces to see time, especially in the spring in the secondary. I mean, the reports are going to come out hot and heavy every day about it, you know, different guys starting at different positions, because we're going to be rotating guys around, I think, quite aggressively. What else on defense? Do you have anything else on defense?
You know, I think when you look at the front four, people like to call them the front seven, but let's face it, right? The strength of this defense is going to be in the front four.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, enjoy seeing A'shaun Robinson. This will be the last of him.
Oh, yeah.
We talked last year about Jerron Reed. We talked about how he looked at A-Day. We talked about how he held the point of attack. We talked about how he was. We knew at A-Day he was going to win the starting job. You and I said at A-Day that he was going to beat out Brandon Ivory, and he did.
Yes.
And so, you know, the strength of this team was Jonathan Allen, A'shaun Robinson, and Jerron Reed. Well, and DJ Pettway. Let's face it. Those four guys played very well up front. So I want to see a healthy Denzel Duvall come back. We didn't get to see him play the way he's capable of playing. I'd like to see him come back. And I'm also interested to continue to see the development of Dalvin Tomlinson and what he can bring to the table. You know, I'm kind of bouncing around on you. Probably the biggest thing that I want to see is I want to see more Rashawn Evans and Tim Williams on third and long, one from one edge and one from the other. We only did that a couple times toward the end of the season, but when we did, we had a ton of success with that. And that's something that I hope we continue seeing.
I think that, and I agree with you, because if the defensive line is going to be fun to watch. I mean, everything else that we've talked about is a question, is a concern, is something that we want to go on. We need to see some improvement and development on. But relative to the defensive line, I think it's going to be, I said last year it was going to be a weapon. I think it was. I think this year it's going to be even more of a weapon with, you know, all the names that you mentioned. Jaron Reed, we know what he is, where last year we were hoping. You know, Jonathan Taylor is another just huge JUCO acquisition. I think he's going to be better than Brandon Ivory. And so last year you could say we had Jaron Reed and Brandon Ivory. This year we're going to have Jaron Reed and Jonathan Taylor. I think that's going to be an improvement. Dalvin Tomlinson has to be feeling really good right now, because I think this is the first season since, what, maybe his junior year in high school that he didn't have an injury that he was coming off of or you know, kind of battling his way back from. So Dalvin has to be feeling really, really good. You know, kind of knock on wood, you hope that sustains itself. A'shaun Robinson, I mean, what else do you want to say about the guy? DJ Pettway, Darren Lake, I think still has some development but some opportunity. And so all sort of the big guys – and I love Jonathan Allen. We're going to see some of him, but like you said, I feel like I'm just saying, you know, what you said, but how does a Deshaun Hand and, you know, how is he used? How does he develop? And a Tim Williams, I mean, I just read and it's a player interview, and I get, you know, hyperbole, but such a compelling interview from, Ragland talking about, you know, Tim Williams, you know, saying, you know, man, if he'll just get his head in the playbook, you know, he could lead the country in sacks. I mean, he's that type of fast, athletic, you know, freaky type of player that he can be as good as he wants to be. And we've heard that said about players before. But, man, that's something that's going to be fun to watch. If he can actually do that, then that just adds, you know, a very dynamic element that simplifies a lot of our questions and concern about, you know, free safeties and corners, right?
No, that's true. And I'm glad you mentioned Deshaun Hand, and I want to try not to restate what you said. I do want to just point out that we do have such good play from our front four that Deshaun Hand didn't get much run. And right. He was the number one player in the country. So I just want to point out what you just said, how big of a story that really should be, that the number one player in the country struggled to get on the field for us last year.
Right.
And what does he do about that this year?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to know the system, you know, a lot more. That's going to be part of it. And, you know, he's going to be acclimated to college and all of that stuff, which is not unimportant.
And does he push a DJ Pettway or something? In other words, to your point, right? Is he good enough to beat out one of those guys for a starting job?
I think he might be. I think at the end, yeah, he is. At one of the end spots, I think he definitely is. And if not just outright beat them, at least get into a significant rotation,
co-starter type of situation.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Where we're just running guys, you know, on and off the field, you know, to have some depth. And I think he's firmly in the rotation. You know, articles about, oh, can't wait to see him blow up. I almost take it as a given that he's going to. And so the question isn't, does he? That's not, to me, a question. I think it's a given that he does. I think the questions are at some of these other positions that we've explored. And it's interesting, you and I must be of the – and so we're kind of celebrating the defensive line, and the questions that we have are more like cherries on top, right? It's everywhere else that there's questions that you know, kind of have darker meaning, I guess, if you will.
No, absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, I'm excited, right? It's spring practice. Spring is in the air. All those exciting things. I can't wait. You know, I guess we need everyone to behave themselves and not get in trouble on their spring breaks. Everyone come back ready for practice. I look forward to the daily reports and keeping up with what's going on, tracking all of the stuff that we've talked about, as well as just a million other stories that you and I are both thinking about, but just didn't put into the show tonight. And absolutely looking forward to A-Day. Getting to see the players that you don't get to see very often, unique combinations. The head-to-head competition is always fantastic. Looking forward to that. Anything else you want to say before we close them up?
No, man. I think I'm looking forward to some practice footage and giving us some more stuff to break down.
Fantastic. Well, hey, check us out on iTunes. Leave us an authentic review there, and we'll be happy to share that with everyone. In the meantime, this is another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast brought to you by Bama Hammer. Roll Tide.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.